Welcome. You are listening to Our Burning Questions, a professional learning podcast where we love to talk about teaching multilingual learners. I'm your host, Colette Ferron Goodwin, and I'm a resource specialist on the EML team with the Mid-State Regional Bilingual Education Resource Network at OCM BOCES in Syracuse, New York. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to another episode of Our Burning Questions. Our burning questions for today are, why is it important for families of L's to be involved in their children's education? And what resources has the New York State statewide language R Burn made available for families and students? And here to discuss these questions is my very special guest, Dr. Ron Wu. Ron, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Colette. Thank you for having me this morning.
So, Ron, would you mind just telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do and your role?
Sure. Currently, I'm the executive director of the New York State statewide language R Burn. We have statewide responsibilities to support English language learner students as well as their parents and families. And we support schools and school districts in their implementation of programs for English language learners. A little bit about me. I've been in the educational business for more than 50 years. I started out as a teacher of English as a second language after 36 years in public school education, where I was a former superintendent and former executive director for special education and a few other sundry things. I worked at CUNY system, where I was a senior policy associate. And now for the last, 8 years, I've been at the New York State Language R Burn.
Fantastic.
Doing what I do best and doing what I like to do the best, and that is working with English language learners.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and it's an honor and pleasure to have you and to be talking with you today.
Thank you.
So I wonder, why is it important for families of L's to be involved in their children's education?
Well, the answer is quite simple. I mean, research has shown that students from families that are involved in their children are more likely to be more successful. They earn higher grades, they score higher on tests, they develop better social skills, and the likelihood of them graduating is much, much higher than those whose parents are not. And, you know, actually family involvement has a positive influence on students' attitude and behavior. So it's not just about graduating with higher grades, not just about graduating, but also has the ability to influence them about how they behave in life, their outlook in life, and all those other good things that makes for successful citizens.
So what have you seen that are some of the common challenges that families of L's face with regard to their child's attending school in the U.S. today?
Well, the biggest challenge is for them to figure out how they fit into the education system. Most of our parents and families of L's are uncertain as to whether they're going to be received well or not in their public schools. Very often, schools are not as welcoming as they would like. They don't necessarily have access to the information that's necessary for them to negotiate our public school systems. Even the basic understanding about how schools operate, depending on where the families have come from, the educational systems may be very different. Students in many of our countries are still teaching in rows and files, whereas coming to the state, they may be sitting at tables, working in small groups, different kinds of things. What the educational process may look like, how parents can engage in schools. Very often in countries, the schools are the authority. Mm-hmm. Parents have no right to question or challenge what's going on in the classroom. And in some countries, parents are not even informed about what their child is going to be learning in schools. And
that's a huge
reticence about how to engage.
Right. And that's a huge challenge for parents, or even a barrier that mm-hmm. could be misconceived by the school or the teacher or, you know, the instructor about. Yeah, go ahead.
No, exactly. I mean, schools have a responsibility in this as well. I mean, mm-hmm. are parents welcomed? How are our parents of English language learner families welcomed in schools? Are they communicated in their home language? Do they have people who are available to provide translations if necessary? Mm-hmm. All of those to our L parents may seem like obstacles, or may seem like, oh, we're not wanted. You know, we don't want you to be here in our schools mm-hmm. because they don't provide that bridge to the school for the parents and families.
Right. So, and I think maybe some of that kind of stems from maybe any misconceptions that schools may hold regarding families of L's. Could you maybe share some common misconceptions?
Well, you know, misconceptions about English language learner parents are sort of sort of interesting. You know, we start with something like, well, the families and parents are all fluent in their home language, which may or may not be true. Mm-hmm. They may be literate. They may not be literate in their home language.
Right.
So some schools may say, okay, you can read this translated piece of paper, mm-hmm. but they may not have the educational wherewithal to read that translated piece.
Right.
And there's also a misconception that some families of L's don't have access to English language. And that may not be true. Mm. So depending on where the child is in terms of the family's pecking order, or in terms of the family's extended family, they may actually have access to English language resources. They may have an older sibling who has gone through the school system and has some English language, or they may have relatives that they are close to, they may have English language. So they're not entirely deprived of English language access outside the schools. And I think the thing that is most disheartening to me is there's a notion that parents of our L's are disinterested about their child's education. Mm. And they're disinterested because they don't ask.
Right.
And they don't participate in school activities. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of that is, are schools providing them with opportunities to participate? Mm-hmm. Do they communicate the desire for them to participate?
Right.
Those are important things. Mm-hmm. You know, people will look and say, are the schools open to me as a parent of an English language learner? And if it doesn't appear so, and then they're reticent, they're new.
Right.
So that's what I would say about misconceptions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was also thinking about the flip side of having access to English at home. And, you know, maybe this idea of, well, you need to practice your English at home. Mm-hmm. And maybe there isn't someone that has exemplary English to practice with, and placing that emphasis on using the home language and maintaining that. I think that's a common misconception too. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree. I mean, parents have, families of English language learners have this misconception about the need to accelerate English language learning in schools.
Right.
There seems to be some urban myth out there that says you have to learn English, otherwise you'll never be successful or whatever. And at the same time, many of them are preserving their home language by going to after schools or going to weekend schools to preserve their home language.
Right.
And failing to have a clearer understanding that bilingual education in and unto itself creates an asset for their children. Mm-hmm. Not understanding completely that we are living in a globally competitive society both economically and otherwise. Mm-hmm. Having multiple languages is a major asset. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I guess schools and other organizations need to help parents understand that.
So you bring up a really good point about assets. Along that same line, what do families of L's bring to the classroom and to the community?
Oh, well, other than bringing to the community that hopes of offering their children a better future, parents and families of L's bring rich experiences and talents and strengths to the classroom. I mean, yes, they may come as poor immigrants who are in temporary housing and that kind of thing, but they come with an array of experiences. Some of our parents were highly trained in their home country in multiple fields. They can share those experiences. They can even share the experience of what it's like just coming from their home country to the U.S. Those are experiences. Those are life experiences that people should be aware of. And they also bring and expand the cultural and linguistic diversity of the school and school community. And they contribute to the cultural responsive and sustaining efforts of a school and the school district and the community that they live in. It's a place where they can show their cultural traditions and exhibit the things that they bring with. You know, this is what we do in their home countries, and contrast that with what's being done here. I mean, simple things like celebration of New Year's, how is it different? Celebration of death, how is that different? But understanding these are members of our community.
And I think one of the main things that you're kind of touching upon there is different perspectives.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it also helps to clarify misunderstandings that may appear in the school. Schools may have a vision of a particular group of English language learners as having certain kinds of attributes, which may or may not be true.
Right.
And having families there to help clarify what that looks like, mm-hmm, is a wonderful thing.
Right. And opening that space to do that is important. Exactly. As well. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, you know, all of that information on the assets of L's and some of the challenges that their families face. I know that as the New York statewide R-Burn, you have created some resources that are available for families and students. So I thought maybe we could talk about some of those resources.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that the New York State Language R-Burn does is that we are, I guess, the hub of parent information for our English language learner parents across the state. We have quite a robust set of translated materials that are parent facing. Mm-hmm. And we can look at those resources in multiple parts. We have resources that pertain to education, you know, basic information about, so what should a parent of an English language learner know about education? Mm-hmm. What should they know about the current environment of education in the state of New York and the country, with knowledge about the Every Student Succeeds Act? They need to know about, so what do the assessments for English language learners may look like? And what are expectations for them in terms of the kinds of assessments? Information about what the curriculum should look like. What do each of the next generation learning standards look like? High school information, all of that, those are resources that are translated for our English language learner parents as information for them as to an understanding of what education is offering their students and what education is attempting to do in the schools. But beyond that, we also offer information that would help them in terms of how to advocate for themselves. We have immigrant and newcomer information that actually tells them, these are your rights, mm-hmm, parents and of English language learners. We have informational videos that we share with our English language learner parents that would help them make a decision about whether they should have an English as a new language program or a bilingual program. And it distinguishes the differences in those programs. And we also offer some materials that says, this is how you can support your youngster at home. You know, little simple things about, you know, just taking them on a walk through the neighborhood, you know, showing them the different signs in English. We also have information about how to support them in case they're being referred to special education. What are the look fors? And we also have information about, hey, what happens when their child is discriminated against or they're harassed or bullied? And lastly, I think the most important thing for them is our parent hotline. We run a parent hotline for the entire state. Parents are able to call or write to us via our website with information, with questions about what their rights are, with inquiries about what they should do or what can be done if they have certain kinds of information. And they're also a place where we will receive their complaints of discrimination, bullying, and harassment on behalf of the state. Mm. So if at any given time a child, an English language learner, is being harassed because of his ethnicity, his race, his language, or whatever else, we are able to receive those complaints and forward it to the authorities mm-hmm. for appropriate action. Mm-hmm. So these are different points where parents can come to us and say, hey, look, we have this information. This is how you can act on behalf of your child to support them in education and to help advance themselves within the educational systems. So we have that. Those are broad resources. But beyond that, we also offer workshops for parents and students. We have a whole series that are offered, just so that you know, in multiple languages. Mm. Understanding high school requirements, because one of the issues for us is having English language learner families understand what the requirements are for right. graduation.
Right.
We have that in multiple languages. We have all of our parent pieces are in multiple languages, just so that you know. Mm. We have workshops on what's the road to college look like for our English language learner students.
Right.
We have workshops that support both the parent and the student in terms of applying for the FAFSA, which is the financial forms that are necessary for college. We also have information on how to finance your college career for your English language learner child, mm-hmm. including some discussion around, so what happens if your child is a DACA child? You know, what are his or her rights? So we have workshops around that as well. And these workshops, just so that you know, are not just provided at the school level mm-hmm. or the district level, but we have expanded our workshop offerings to include the public libraries. The public libraries is a great place for parents to come to receive this information. Mm-hmm. You know, contrary to popular belief, our English language learner parents are very, very supportive of their children's education. They will bring their children to the public libraries on a Saturday mm-hmm. or an afternoon for them to do their research and to do their homework help or whatever that's offered in their library. Mm-hmm. And rather than stand around, we offer these workshops. We provide them with information at the public libraries and in community-based organizations mm-hmm. That have reached out to us and said, Ron, can you offer a workshop around, so what are the rights of our English language learner parents?
Right.
And we provide that as well. Mm-hmm. Probably the more interesting thing is that we hold an annual parent conference mm-hmm. across the state.
Yeah.
This year, we're holding the parent conference in Long Island. Previously, we've had it in different places in New York State. This year, it's going to be Long Island in March,
okay.
Where we provide in-person workshops to parents in that particular region. We try mm-hmm. to hit all of the regions across the state of New York.
Right.
So, you know, we have those workshops. And then beyond that, we also have have the Angelo del Toro Puerto Rican Hispanic Youth Leadership Institute, which is to provide students who are Puerto Rican and Hispanic with leadership and advocacy skills, and how they can advocate for themselves and how they can be leaders in the civic world upon graduation. So we do that as well. And I think the last resource that is interesting for parents to know is that we have these bilingual glossaries.
Mm-hmm.
As I said earlier, parents come with a variety of skills.
Right.
And many of them are professional people in their home countries, mm-hmm. coming here in aiding their children. They may need to have an understanding of what certain words in English may mean in their home country, and having bilingual glossaries gives them an opportunity to say, so this is what this word actually means, and this is what this phrase actually means. Right. So we offer that as well. Those are the different kinds of resources we have for parents.
Yeah, it's quite a variety. And I was thinking, as you were talking about those informational videos for L parents, that's important too, because if the parents are not able to read, those mm-hmm. videos are helpful because they'll be able to listen to them and see them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I also wanted to emphasize too, the parent hotline, that you have interpreters that would be able to translate for parents when they call, so they don't have to speak English.
That's right. We have five online that's fully staffed, that if you call at any given time, we have five languages that we immediately can respond to telephonically. The others we will have a response within 24 hours.
Okay.
So there's always somebody manning the lines. Staffing the lines. And it's been an interesting process. The hotline not only provides them with information, but very often serves as third-party interveners in some places where parents are unable to facilitate a conversation with a school district.
Right.
We will help with that. And the parent hotline has been, we believe, fairly successful in having their English language learners get the services they need. So we're very happy about that. And we're thrilled.
I bet. So I'm just wondering, how many phone calls do you get, like maybe in a week or?
So it's not a simple, it's not how many do you get in a week, because I guess these are seasonal kinds of things.
Mm, okay.
So at the beginning of the school year, we always get a rush of phone calls.
Gotcha.
You know, will my child get services? I don't want my child to get services. How do I negotiate whatever it is that's there? My child has been in this program for X number of years. I really want bilingual program. I don't want English as a new language program. How do I negotiate that? Or how do I negotiate getting into a bilingual program where the school is not offering it? So we get a flurry of calls, typically at the front end, and typically in the mid-year part, where we get some transitions in some places. And then all along the year, we get other kinds of questions about, as you know, English language learners don't all come on the same bus at the beginning of the school year. They come at a variety of different times.
Right.
So we may have questions along the school year that says, look, my child is 16 years old and has only been in school for 2 years. Can they still go to a public high school? And the answer is yes. Contrary to a school district that may say to them, hey, look, your child is 16 years old. He's never going to have enough time to graduate, which is not always true.
Right.
We don't want them to come to the school. We're going to put them into a GED program. And the answer is no. The school district has a responsibility to provide compulsory education until the student reaches the age of 21 or has received their high school diploma. There's certainly time within that period for a 16-year-old to catch up. So, we negotiate those kinds of things. We negotiate where parents sometimes don't, where a school district may not have access to a language.
Right.
So we serve as an intermediary for the parents. So yeah, we do a lot in multiple languages. And we, as I said, all of our parent workshops are in multiple languages.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying, you know, in terms of like parent workshops at the libraries and things, those are kind of closer to New York City, right?
That's closer to New York City. That's correct. Mm-hmm. You know, we encourage local school districts to try to use different resources as well. I mean, one of the things that we've done is we've worked with the other Auburn regions to help collect information about community-based organizations
mm-hmm.
that are helpful to parents. Those community-based organization lists are by region. It provides the different kinds of services the community-based organization may provide, be it legal service, be it social service services, be it translation services, immigration services, or other kinds of services.
Right.
We've helped to compile those lists for each of the regions, which is something else that our English language learner parents could avail themselves of in their region. It's posted on our line, online for them. And yeah, it's another resource for them.
Well, I'm definitely going to make sure that I share the links to these resources so that districts and schools can share them with their mm-hmm. parents and make use of all these amazing resources that you've created.
Yeah, I think the hardest part for me is to help get this information out to parents. Our English language learner parents are living in a fairly isolated kind of community among themselves.
Right.
And as we try to get more and more information out, we see the results in our bilingual hotline.
Mm.
Well, we have more inquiries coming through the hotline says to us that our outreach is getting better and better. But it's like anything else. It's people have to know.
Right. Right. And I think it's important, you know, to be mm-hmm. able to share this information now like this, mm-hmm. and hopefully right. it will, you know, spark some interest and direct them to the website.
Well, Colette, I have to thank you for this opportunity to have this information out there.
Yeah. Oh, it's my pleasure. So you kind of talked a little bit about graduation rates.
Mm-hmm.
We know that in New York State, it's a challenge for L's, and we know that the graduation rates are a little bit lower than for non-L students. And so how can using these resources help increase graduation rates for L's?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that parents need to know what the requirements are.
Right.
Not knowing what the requirements are, a parent can be sitting there and just watching the world go by, and that's really not what we're about. So what we have is we have our high school requirements translated in multiple languages as a base to provide to parents.
Right.
And that's part of our Roadmap to College series, understanding the high school requirements. But beyond that, we also provide our parents with a translated high school requirements tracking tool
mm-hmm.
so that they're able to track their child's progress toward graduation, understanding the required credits for each of the subject areas and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's translated into their language.
Mm-hmm.
So coupled with the high school requirements as a base, they're able to say, okay, my child is here on the road to high school graduation.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that they can help with understanding where they are. And as I said earlier, the other thing that they can use is the bilingual glossaries to help with the education of their children in the respective subject areas. So these are tools that are available to parents. For us, it's the how can we get them into the parents' hands so that they can use it.
Right.
And it helps. Parents, contrary to popular belief, our English language learner parents are very high on having their children graduate
yes.
and be educated mm-hmm. formally as quickly as possible
right.
and as effectively as possible. And I think these tools will help them do that.
Absolutely. Now, I know that I know that you're located in New York City, and I'm just kind of making sure that everybody understands that these resources are not specifically for New York City DOE, right? These are statewide resources.
So yeah, these resources are for the state. So I think one should understand that there are 8 R-burns across the state.
Yes.
7 of the R-burns are regionally based. So they are focused on the schools and school districts within their school districts.
Right.
My R-burn, which is a statewide R-burn, responds to issues that are across New York State. Mm-hmm. So these are parents across New York State are not different from region to region. They all share the same kinds of issues. Right. And what we are providing is we're providing, one would like to say, either a warehouse or a clearinghouse of translated materials. Now, understand these translated materials come from a variety of different New York State Education Department organizations. They may come from the State Education Department's Office of Curriculum. They may come from the State Department's Office of Assessment or the Office of Special Education. They're compiled from a number of different places. Mm-hmm. So that parents don't have to go hunting for these translated materials within the Department of Education. I mean, we do different things, but mostly what can we do to help make life easier for our English language learner parents? Mm-hmm. Where can we provide a hub of information that they can go to, both in terms of resources and a place for them to ask questions? Our hotline. There's no question that it's too silly to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think when you think about a hotline, there might be a connotation that it's mostly negative reporting, right?
No, it's a place of inquiry. Mm-hmm. It's a place of urgency for a parent that says, I need this piece of information. The school is not providing it, or the school doesn't have the resource to be able to provide me with the information in my home language or otherwise. It's a place where they can come to get a response.
Right.
And very often we have the issue of the telephone game. The information that is, you know, handed down from one person to the next may be slightly altered or slightly transformed in some ways. Coming to the hotline gives them the direct information to the regulatory scheme that's available to them. So we're there for them.
This is a resource, emphasizing that it's a resource.
Right. And it's not just for parents of L's, but what we've discovered over the years that it's become a resource for our parents who do not speak English, mm-hmm. who have children in the school system. Mm-hmm. So their child may not be an L, but they themselves are L's. Mm-hmm. The parents are English language learners and wanted this information to help facilitate their children. So yes, we're there.
Thank you for all of these resources. These are all valuable resources and all of the work that you do to support parents and teachers and students throughout the state. Are there any other resources that the Language R-Burn is currently working on that maybe you could give us a hint?
Well, we're trying to figure out a way of making our website more robust in a way that becomes more accessible, where parents can actually, you know, find a way of negotiating it better. Mm-hmm. If they go onto our website, they'll see, you know, 4 different places where they can get information. One, which is just the broad resources for parents. Another is the events or our workshops for families and students. Another place that says bilingual glossaries, mm-hmm. and another place that says our parent hotline. We're trying to develop a schema where all of them could be residing in a single location. I think we're halfway there. And then to take our resources and fine tune our resources a little bit more. Right now, it's broken down into probably more than a dozen categories. Mm-hmm. How do we make access to those dozen or more categories easier to access? you know, without having to scroll down a long list. We were putting in hot links at the top of the page, which helps. But are there other ways that we can make it more accessible to parents? And that's our challenge. Our challenge is, how can we make what we have more accessible to parents, both in terms of outreach and in terms of the substance of the materials themselves? That's our challenge. And that's the work we're going to be working on.
Great. Sounds good. So if you could send a message to schools and districts on using this information, what would be your first piece of advice for them to start using these resources?
I think the first advice is to look through the resources and understand what the resources are. And I've talked about a variety of ways the resources can be used, but very often school districts have a limited view of how these resources can be used. A good example would be the bilingual glossaries.
Right.
The bilingual glossaries, the original intent was to serve as an accommodation for our English language learner students. But what we've discovered over the years is that the bilingual glossaries have become an instructional tool that could be used throughout the school year. And it also becomes another resource for parents.
Right.
So that parents can help support their students. So what we're discovering during the course of all of these things is, how can we make these more robust? So it's really for the schools to have a better understanding of the large potential that's available to them for each of these resources. And so the resources, I mean, we have parent resources, right? And these parent resources is not just for parents, it's for our educators as well. Educators have to say, I have this information. I can deliver this information.
Yes.
It's not a closely held secret by the language arbor.
Right.
This should be something that I should be giving to my parents as a good school leader or as a teacher to say, hey, I want you, my students, to be successful. Here are some ways that you and your families can help each other to be successful. And that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. I mean, this would be a great thing to share in parent orientation for new parents.
Exactly.
Right.
But understanding that the school orientations are not always geared toward families of L's. And when they are, they're very often conducted in English.
Mm-hmm.
So the larger piece around parent and family engagement needs to be built in such a way that parents are welcomed.
Right.
Parents, there are communication patterns that are in place to facilitate communications with parents.
Right.
There should be some local training, local workshops. I'll give you an example of a workshop that we just finished doing. And that is a workshop on how a parent of an L could be more effective as part of the parent-teacher conference nights. Mm-hmm. Questions they can ask and should ask.
Mm-hmm.
And then similarly, on the other side, the schools need to be cognizant of the fact that there are English language learner families. And what are they doing to have interpreters available if necessary?
Right.
And training their own teachers about what they can expect.
Mm.
Or just a simple, give you an example, a simple organizational item for English language learner parents for the parent conference night. Understanding that there needs to be an interpreter in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That the schedule for that particular segment with an English language learner parent should be at least double the amount of time necessary for an other scheduled kind of parent, because the interpreter will need that kind of time to interpret the information for the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, parents are being shortchanged.
Right. Very good point. Well, I think we could probably talk endlessly about supporting parents and families and the importance of it. But thank you, Ron. It's been both an honor and a pleasure to speak with you today. And I will be sure to share the link directly to the website for the resources for families and students, as well as the main website so that our listeners can take advantage of all of the resources that you've created.
Well, thank you, Colette, and thank you for this opportunity. And I welcome this opportunity to have shared this with you and your listeners, and hopefully others will hear more about us. Yes, so thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for listening today. If you would like to learn more about the brilliant guest we had on today's episode or any of the resources we discussed, please visit the Mid-State Auburn webpage. This podcast is produced by Mid-State Auburn at OCM BOCES, and our theme music is Catalyst from Purple Planet Music. We hope that you'll tune in next time for more of Our Burning Questions.